Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, your guide to better cricket. And it doesn't matter who you are and it doesn't matter where you are, we're here to help you out for a little while. Who are we? Well, speaking of who we are and where we are, there's three people in who have been in all kinds of different locations recently. First of all, my name's David Hinchliffe. I look after things here. Secondly, from many miles away from me, it's the director of cricket at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Garraz. Where are you?
I'm in St. Lucia. I'm running a coaching week, a coaching holiday with Andrew Strauss, director, managing director of English cricket. And we're out here working with our legend, Holidays and Events. We've done it for the last few years, and it's been a lovely little break for us, you know, right at the beginning of the season. And it's great for the kids because they get some practice on grass in international stadiums and then get back to playing on grass in England. So it's a really good week for us.
Secondly, it's a man who's just come back from Sri Lanka, so a real jet-setting panel today. It's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers. How was Sri Lanka? What were you doing over there?
Yeah, lovely. It was really good experience for the guys from school. We had 10 days out there, played five games, did a bit of training, had a little bit of looking around as well, and really good experience for everyone, some excellent fixtures. And some lovely people, so it was a really productive time.
Okay, it's time now for the question section on the show. A couple of questions that are sent in to the show, and the best question of the week wins a prize, which is an online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. You can send your questions in to us, actually, for future shows. If you do that by emailing coach@pitchvision.com, or you can get us on social media, which we'll tell you about towards the end of the show. The first question this week is from Arshdeep, and Arshdeep says, "Sir, I want to know that while I'm batting, during the stance, should my weight be more on the back foot or more on the front foot?"
It's a great question. I suppose at what point of the stance we're talking, because we know that when we put people on to force plates and get people to bat, that weight shifts, that the centre of gravity shifts depending on how that person moves. And also, depending on what stage the bowler is in their delivery stride and what have you. So if it's not a constant, I suppose if we're looking to give somebody a really rough guide, then the biomechanist would say if you get your weight 50-50 on 2 feet for as long as possible, then it enables you to shift more effectively. But we also know that people don't operate in a symmetrical fashion very often when they're batting as well. So my question to you, I think it would be, you know, it's not going to give you a definitive, but 50-50, the biomechanists say, that it is a reasonable place to start from because it enables us to shift either way. But I also know that certain people have weight shift onto their back foot, which enables them to unweight their front foot and then manoeuvre that around. And then players like Ricky Ponting, if you can imagine watching him play, would shift his weight from back foot to front foot and then to wherever in preparation to hit the ball. So we've done this with heaps of very, very good players, stuck them on these force plates, and we're getting some incredibly individual readings that come off of it. So I wouldn't get too stuck in terms of where you are in relation to others, because ultimately it's about where you are in relation to you. A good starting point is 50-50, but ultimately you could talk to every batter in the world and they'll probably come up with a different ratio of that. And then when you put them on top of the force plate, that will probably tell them something slightly different again. So, it's all about balance. It's all about being in a position of readiness to be able to go into the next bit of a shot. 50-50 is a guide, but ultimately try and feel your feet a little bit and work out when you play at your best which one works for you.
I guess, Lavers, the trigger move is important of that. If someone's standing still, they're more likely to be balancing their weight a bit more. And if they're moving around, they're less likely to be, well, they're more likely to be shifted onto one side or the other.
Yeah, as was sort of mentioned there, it's coming down to what kind of batter are you, what kind of movement profile do you have, how do you get from where you're starting to where you want to be, which is somewhere near where the ball is. And are you going to be getting there by moving forwards with your head, or are you going to be driving with your legs? And what's the method that's going to be preferential to you? And the more you understand about that type of thing, the more you're going to have a good understanding of where your weight should be, how your legs should be position? Should they be bent? Should they be straight? All these little things we've talked about on the show before. So I guess having that initial understanding of how your movement is going to happen, are you going to drive out with that head, or are you going to be pushing with those legs, is going to give you an indication of should my weight be neutral and maybe going backwards to load those legs a little bit. I think that I say the Australian team that we've all spent a lot of time with over the last 10 years would have two of the extremes in there. And Garrison, you've got your Ricky Ponting as the one who's getting out on the front foot, and then you've got your Watson as the other one who's getting deep in the crease and loading that back leg. And it's understanding what works for you, and the very simple method is to go for a bit of trial and error. And I bet, given the question, I bet you've not sent this question in just thinking, I wonder what the answer is. I bet you've already tried it out a little bit, and you've probably got a bit of an idea already that you've tried pressing a little bit more into your front foot, or maybe sitting a bit more on your back foot. And also try thinking about how you work with those legs as well. Are you a little bit taller, are you a little bit shorter, are you a little bit wider, are you a little bit narrower? And when you put all those things together and you start going through that little process of trial and error, you'll start to see what thing works for you. So we say it a lot, there's not going to be a blanket answer for everyone. It's about making you the best player and thinking about what's the thing that's going to make you move where you want to move so you can play the shots that you want to play.
I want to throw maybe another thing in here, is that obviously power hitting has become a lot more prominent, I should say, in modern cricket. And that is a slightly different technique from classical batting. And you see people shifting their weight from the back leg onto the front foot to put their weight into the ball and go long. So do things change when you're in that mindset of looking for the rope?
Yeah, it does. But there's lots of context. So if you think about playing spin, the opposite sort of thing. So hitting power, hitting shots, people load back to increase their ground force reaction, going into the ground to then be able to push forward with more force to then apply into the ball. And then when we're playing spin, a lot of players do, you know, what could be called a front foot press or a floating foot or whatever, where they're actually going the other way. They're looking to go towards the ball and then have the ability to bounce off of that front foot to get deep in the crease and hit. And my image of somebody doing that is Rahul Dravid at his very best when he played spin, which was just absolute joy to watch, even if he was playing against you, unfortunately. It was wonderful. Michael Vaughan used to go and put himself in a position where the ball was never going to go so he could watch him bat. You know, it was joyous. That is quality captain. I always knew when Vaughan thought that somebody was batting a little bit too well, because he'd go and watch them from somewhere rather than captain the team. No, but that's, you know, yeah, only on that occasion. We talked about that last night, bizarrely. So people do, you know, if you're trying to hit long, then people have that push back to try and get the ground force reaction off of their back foot to be really strong so they can really hammer forward. And then similarly doing the opposite against spin. So it's not just against power hitting that maybe that 50-50 thing changes. It happens when you're playing spin, and that's what the beauty of our game is, I think, is that the best players are the ones that adapt to the conditions and adapt to the challenge of the incoming ball to give themselves the best chance of success, whereas the normal player will just hold on to what they do and stick to what they do. And talking with Strauss this week about playing the short ball, so if he was playing against somebody who he knew for this spell was going to try and knock his head off, so Brett Lee was an example of this, then he would change his foot patterning in his trigger, because he knew that every ball was going to be, you know, up around chest to head height with two men back on the hook. And then if he pitched it up, then he would just back himself to be able to get something on it and full face on it back down the ground in some way, shape or form. But if we had that force plate underneath him in that context, his foot patterning would look completely different to his normal stuff when he was playing Brett Lee, who wasn't, you know, who was going to bowl the odd bouncer rather than every ball.
Funny, that reminds me, a few years ago, and I've forgotten the chap's name, but I spoke to the coach who coached Andrew Strauss when he was at school. And he said the most notable thing he saw in him when he was a youngster was his adaptability. It wasn't that he was fantastic out of the gate. It was he was the quickest to adapt, and he was the quickest to go, oh, I, I'm this is not going right for me. I need to change something. And he would do it, and he would grab onto it and do it quickly. So I guess it's something that came to him from a young age.
Was that Andy Wagner?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Top man, great coach.
That was a long time ago when I boxed him.
Top man, great coach, and was magnificent for Strauss and for players like Jamie Dalrymple as well. Did a great job with those guys.
Next question is from Chris. And Chris says, I have a problem where I open the face too much when I'm trying to play straight. I end up driving through cover rather than mid-off. What causes this and how can I fix it?
Yeah, great question. And it could be a couple of things. And I mean, I'll just stick two things out there and labours can build on them. First one people mostly look at is grip. I find that the grip's probably not always the reason. It's probably the secondary thing that I would go to, but most people go to grip first. You know, if the grip is not right and won't allow the bat face to square up at point of contact, then obviously that's something that needs to be changed. But in the main, I think it's to do with the alignment of the bat swing into the incoming ball. So it can go twofold, this one. It can come from out to in, so a sort of, you know, a curve coming from second slip to in on that sort of that big curve. If you get your timings wrong, then you're going to slice across the ball. But actually something that's more common now, I think, is that the hands get pulled in behind the body, so people are looking to have tight hands, and then as they go into their backswing, what our body naturally does is pull our hands in anyway. So if they start really tight to the body and they get pulled in even more, then you get that bat alignment going to fine leg, as opposed to going back over the top of off stump. And as a result of that, people end up playing straight to cover as opposed to playing into out. And that could be something that's happening. It's called the moment of inertia. When we go into that bat swing mode, our hands come into our body because we're shortening our levers because we want to put some bat speed into the ball. And as a result, if your hands are too tight in your outset and your normal stance position, then the bat often goes behind. And it was something that Marcus Driscothic was always battling against, particularly against somebody like an Ambrose or a nagging bowler like a McGrath, because they would expose that. So we were always looking at trying to get the alignment of his bat swing, because the same thing was happening. He ended up hitting everything to cover, and if there's lateral movement, then he ended up nicking it to slip or the keeper. So it's normally the alignment of a bat swing, either coming too much on a curve from out to in and then out again, into your contact zone, or that you're pulling that moment of inertia when we go to pull those hands in to create speed by reducing the radius, the bat goes down to fine leg and we end up playing with a misaligned bat towards cover and end up slicing it as a result.
Do you see that as well, Lavers, or do you see other things happening? What can you add to it?
Well, yeah, I'd be going along with the lines of the most common problem being the alignment combined with the timing. So what's the path of the bat, what's the point of contact or not contact along the path of the bat. So obviously we want the bat coming through and presenting full face and doing that as much as we can, and as Gareth has talked about there, if we're pulling round behind us towards fine leg or we've got a bit of misalignment out towards the slips, we might find that the path of the bat and the follow through and being a little bit earlier or a little bit late is going to mean that the ball's not going to go square in the direction we maybe think we're trying to hit it. And then the other one, the grip. And the grip's obviously that really personal thing that people have, which is very sensitive and it's very difficult for people to change. And it makes a big impact on how they feel in the short term. So it's a very tricky thing. So a lot of the time I would usually say that the first point of kind of consideration would be the alignment and the timing. But then the grip's the other thing. I guess with a lot of these things, in terms of a solution, it's getting yourself on your app on your phone, isn't it? And setting it up there and getting your Pitch Vision app out and filming yourself and having a little look at what's going on. Where's the bat coming from? Where's it going to? Where does the backswing go? Where does the follow through end up? What position is the bat at the point of contact? Are we still slightly open? Are we closing off? And then if we have a look from sideways on, what stage of the swing are we? Are we still well back between the feet when we're making this contact, or are we getting way out in front of that front pad? And once you've got that information there, you can give yourself a much more definitive answer rather than us kind of presenting the options. So we can give you the options there, but get your app out, get someone to throw a few balls, and hopefully you can get the answer for yourself there.
And the other thing, of course, is what kind of work can you do around that, other than go into the nets and try a few things? I guess, like, is there any sort of intervention type stuff? I've seen intervention poles used to try and, you know, discourage guys from moving the bat too far round to the leg side, for example. Is there any examples of things like that, intervention type stuff that can be done?
Yeah, there's heaps of things actually. And so if you've got an out to in swing and you feel that curve is making you not be as effective as you can, then even just batting up against the wall with your chest sort of, you know, a little bit away off the wall and swinging your bat back, so, you know, you get that kinesthetic feedback if you swing it out too far and you start that circle on the outside too far, that you get that little touch on the wall with the bat is a good one. You can do it up against the net as well, and then equally you can do it the other way with any form of net or intervention pole, as you say, but you don't even need that really. Anything that you can get a bit of a feel on, as you swing the bat back, you get an indicator if you've pulled it off the line that you're looking to try and achieve. A lot of mirror work as well, you know, you can't underestimate that. And one of the ways that Trez used to re-establish his basics to face people like McGrath and Ambrose was standing in front of a mirror and really being able to watch that. And, you know, that's I suppose the original one, wasn't it, that we all did when we were kids, and now we've got phones and what have you. We probably don't do it quite so much because we use our phones, which in some ways is better because we can actually mimic our head position instead of just having our head position up and looking at the mirror trying to get that feedback. But, you know, that's a really
such a good left-handed batsman, Gareth.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's great. It's
in that
great
mirror,
though, isn't it? It's great.
Hit everyone out the middle.
Absolutely.
It's not that we talk about 10,000 hours of practice or number of repetitions, things like that, but I mean, there won't be many international cricketers who haven't done 10,000 repetitions in front of the mirror, wouldn't have thought.
Of course, mate.
It will have happened. It's a key part of learning, and it's not perfect, is it? As you said there, one little thing is it doesn't necessarily put your head in the right position for what you're trying to achieve. But generally what you're trying to work on isn't head positioning. You're looking at some other part, and it's actually a really good way to give you, obviously, instant, ongoing, continuous feedback. And it gives you that ability to associate feeling with position, which even though you can look at a video and you can see what happened, you're not actually getting a live association between feeling and position or path, which in a mirror, I'm feeling this way and I'm seeing it feeling that way, not I'm seeing it and I think this is how it felt 20 seconds ago. This is what I'm feeling and this is what I'm seeing. And they're both happening at exactly the same time, which is a really valuable experience and a really valuable way of learning about that feel and that path that it takes, and without any guesswork and without any interpretation of this is how it felt or this is how it looked, this is how it feels and this is how it looks right now. So I think changing room mirror, really useful thing for a lot more than doing your hair.
Well, yeah, I reckon I've been in some venues around the world, which aren't necessarily the ones that you go out the hotel a lot, where, and then when you turn the telly on, you've got three channels and none of them are speaking the tongue that I understand, that actually the batting mirror becomes entertainment as well, you know, in a very weird and wonderful way. And certainly thinking back to somebody like Trez, you know, he was so diligent trying to become as good as he possibly could, and he'd leave no stone unturned technically to do that. Then, you know, the amount of hours that he used to spend in his room doing that. He's a bit of a bat badger anyway, so he was always picking up bats and swinging them. But, you know, really simple but a good way of just making sure that everything is in sync and you're giving yourself the best chance. And I think just the last point on this is contact point, because as Sam said earlier, timing. Well, that timing comes from whatever your contact point is at its maximum speed. You know, that is when timing comes in, when the bat's moving it at its maximum speed on that particular swing that you make. And you make contact with the ball at that point with a square bat face, which is what we're looking for, isn't it? You know, square bat face as possible into the incoming ball. And some people, when they play slightly ahead of themselves, certainly myself, if I got a drive slightly early, then it would do that open bat face thing because my wrists used to open if I got in front of myself. Whereas if you can imagine Kevin Peterson playing, his wrists would close in front of himself. So it's working those types of things out as well, and working out where your contact point is. So you know, for me, it's alignment. Grip probably is the last thing I'd probably go for, to be honest. It's alignment and contact point of my two sort of go-tos. And then if that's not working, then I will look at grip as a final one.
And that is just about all we've got time for on the show this week. We're going to head off in a moment, but before we do that, we're going to decide on the winner of this week's competition, the online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And the two questions that are on offer this week were Arshdeep's question about front or back foot and Chris's question about opening the face. Which one did you prefer this week, Gareth?
I thought they were two brilliant questions. I'm going to go with Chris's one about opening the face. I thought I think we came up with some pretty good solutions on that one. So well done, Chris.
Congratulations, Chris. Online coaching course coming to you. And Gareth, if someone else was listening to the show and wanted to send in their question, get their chance to win the prize, how could they get in touch with us?
They could give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com.
That's correct. You can also get us on social media. Of course, if you follow us on the Pitch Vision pages, you get a little bit of extra content as well from the podcast. And you can go to the old-fashioned social media like Facebook. Remember that? Well, you can head over to facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy. We're still there. And on Twitter at pitchvisionacad. You can listen to the show every week if you want to do that. You can listen on pitchvision.com in all the usual ways by going to the pitchvision.com/academy page and clicking on the podcast link for all the details. And also you can subscribe to the show, to the free portion of the show, which is available in any podcast app. Just do a search for Pitch Vision Academy and you can get that for nothing. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavers.
Cheers, everybody.
Thanks, guys.